We good to go? You guys hear me all right? Hey, you know what? Also, Brad took care of all the registration, all this key nightmare, and Phil was in charge of the program. These guys work extra hard behind the scenes. You guys give those guys a hand. You guys having a good weekend? How about having an extra hour on the last night of the conference? That's kind of cool, huh? Man, I woke up, I went out, saw the clock, it said 7:30, and Jim's like, no, it's 6:30. I was like, score. This is awesome. I wish you could save that hour sometimes and like cash it in when you really need it. Like, professor, I need one more hour before I take this test. Thank you very much. But we can't. No worries. I've had a fun time being here. I really appreciate you guys letting me come out and speak to you. These are just things that are on my heart. You know, it's funny, I have a bunch of notes, but I don't really need notes to talk about some of these things, because these are just some of the things that if you kind of squeeze me, it's what's going to ooze out. And I love the idea of giving your life away to Jesus and following Him and having a huge view of who He is, getting out of the box that we try and shove Him in, and using the resources that He's given us in His Word to fulfill following Him in His great commission. And I'm excited to talk to you about this morning. This morning I just have a challenge for you. We're not going to open up any new territory. We're not going to talk about any new concepts. I just want to challenge you. How many of you have ever had a dumb dare in your life? Yeah, okay, all right. Shaved my chest once because I lost a fishing bet. That was a bad one. My buddy Jason, I love him to death. We were at Windy Gap, North Carolina, Young Life Camp. Any Young Lifers in here? And we're at Windy Gap, and through Windy Gap is this beautiful property in Asheville, North Carolina. There's this big creek that runs right down through the middle of Windy Gap, and it's kind of, it fills up a lake that you can do the blob and the zip line and all this kind of stuff on. And this creek is lined with boulders on each side. And it kind of, it's not like a little creek. It's like, I don't know, 15, 20 feet wide maybe. And it goes down maybe 8 feet or something like that. It's just lined with these huge rocks, and a little trickle of creek goes down the middle. And he comes up to me and he says, Drew. I say, yeah, Jay, what's up? You dare me jump over that creek? No, you'll never make it, dude. He's like, I think I can jump over it. I was like, Jason, I do not dare you jump over that creek. He says, I think I can make it. Now, Jason, we were both, I think, scrawny freshmen, and he was a little smaller than I was, and I'm playing Frisbee. You know, we're like both putting our ninth grade Mac on all the ninth grade girls there, and we're throwing the Frisbee, and he kind of peels off somehow, and I'm still throwing the Frisbee, and out of the corner of my ear, I hear someone going, what is Jason doing? And I turn around, and Jason's full sprint towards the creek. His fat, no shoes, just flying. I'm thinking, no, he's not going to. And next thing I know, Carl Lewis style, like the run in the air. He's going over the creek. I'm thinking, he's going to make it. He's going to make it. And then, nope, wham, hits a rock right before he gets to the other side. Smack, he hits, and his legs kind of crumple up, and he rolls onto the grass. And we're like, no way that just happened. We could hear it. We're way far away. And so I run. I take the bridge across the creek. And I go over to him, and his knees are up, and he's on his back, and his knees are kind of shaking, and he says, I said, Jason, are you okay? And he says, Drew, that's the dumbest thing I've ever done. I said, you think? He fused his growth plates together. He never grew an inch past that day. He broke both of his heels. I had to carry him around like Quasimodo with a hunchback for the rest of the camp because we didn't know his heels were broken. Some of you have done dumb dares too. He dared himself. Dared himself. Two summers ago at a training program up there in Winter Park. One of my students came up. He had just finished, I think, maybe his freshman year. His name's Luke. He's a stud. And there's a guy there. His name's Hoss. We picked him up. He's like a hitchhiker, and he wants to make a salsa for, like, paying us back. And he's got habanero peppers. That's what he's making the salsa with. They're glowing like nuclear orange. And Luke picks one up. He goes, Drew, you dare me to eat one of these? And being a good friend that I am, I said, oh, yeah. I want to see you eat that. I dare you to eat that thing, man. So he just... He's chewing, kind of like the Dumb and Dumber, more tingly than hot. And then it just happens. And every hole in his head starts leaking something. And he's like, ah, ah, and he's just sweating, and his snot got coming out. And I'm rolling. I'm like, dude, that was going to hurt. You knew it was going to hurt. He's like, ah. And I walk. I'm laughing. I just leave. Everybody else is kind of laughing. He comes to my door about 10 minutes later. Eyes are bloodshot red. Tears coming down his face. Snot coming out of his nose. And just drool coming down. He goes, what do I do? What do I do? I'm like, you better go throw up, or you better drink some milk or something, because it's going to hurt worse coming out than it did going in. So you better just take care of that now. That was a pretty good dare. I like that one. You know what? This morning, I'm going to dare you to move. This morning, I'm going to give each and every one of you a dare. We're going to look at a couple people in the Bible. We're not going to take a lot of time here. We're running a little bit behind. But I'm going to dare you to move wherever you're at. I don't know if you know Jesus yet. I don't know if you're just starting to understand some of the things we're talking about. I don't know if you've been following Him since you were a little kid. But wherever you're at, I know it's true that you can take a step closer towards Him. And this morning, I'm going to dare you to move. First person we're going to look at is Peter in Luke 5. Do we have these slides? Sweet. Luke 5, 1 through 5. This is a story of Jesus encountering Peter and Peter encountering Jesus. And one day, Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret with the people crowding around Him and listening to the Word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. And He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and He asked them to put out a little from shore. Then He sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when He'd finished speaking, He said to them, "Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." And Simon Peter answered, "Master, we've been working hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because You say so, I will let down the nets." And here's this thing. Jesus is a carpenter. He comes up, He's teaching all these people, and He tells Peter, who's a fisherman, hey, Peter, go out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch. He's like, "Jesus, man, we've been working hard all night. I'm already washing up, man. We're done for the day. But you know what? Since You say so, I'll let my nets for a catch." And this is how we catch it up. Is there another slide for that one? Yeah, go ahead and put that up there. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Picture that one. They're fishing boats. They're sinking because there's too many fish. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and he said, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partner. And then Jesus said to him, "Simon, don't be afraid. From now on you'll catch men." So they pulled up their boats on shore, left everything, and they followed him. What a neat thing. You know, Peter is saying, "Jesus, You're the carpenter. I'm the fisherman. Let me take care of the fish." Jesus says, "Hey, put out in deep water. Let's just let down the nets for a catch." And Peter says, "All right, Lord, I'll do it. We've been working hard all night. We've already washed up. I'll do it." And he obeys. He obeys the carpenter about a fishing technique, pulls up so many fish that, oh my goodness, Jesus just starts to bless these guys, and their boats are beginning to sink. There's so many fish. And it freaks Peter out. He falls at Jesus' knees and he says, "Jesus, I am a sinner. Get away from me, Lord. You got to go away. You can't be near me. I'm junk, and I'm recognizing You're holy." You know, he says, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." You know, he encountered Jesus and recognized who he was and who Jesus was, and who he was in light of who Jesus was and his holiness. And Jesus goes on to say, "Hey, Simon, Peter, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll catch men, not fish." And Peter gets up out of the boat, leaves everything, and follows him. And some of you are probably sitting in those chairs and you've heard the stories maybe I've told, or you've been listening to the verses that we've been talking about, and you think, God can't use me. I'm a sinner. Lord, go away from me. God, I know You might use these people around me, but not me. I'm a sinner. I dare you to move in spite of your sin towards God. I dare you to move this morning. If that's you, if that strikes a chord in your heart, I dare you to take one step from wherever you're at right now towards God and say, "I know I'm a sinner." And I can just see Jesus put the smile on His face and maybe grabbing Peter by the head and just saying, "Oh, Peter, don't be afraid. I'll do the work. I'm the one doing the work. I caught the fish. I knew they were there. I told them to go there because I was going to put the nets down. I'm God. I'll do that. Don't be afraid." And some of you in this room have been doubting yourself the whole weekend, and the enemy's been in your brain saying, "That's not you." He means he's talking to other people, not you. In spite of your sin, you know your junk. Jesus knows your junk. In spite of your sin, I dare you to take a step closer to Jesus. Another picture we get of Peter. He's in a boat again. Matthew 14, 22 to 23. And Jesus has just fed 5,000 people, and he says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of them to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. You think? Think about that one for a minute. It's a ghost, they cried. And they cried out in fear. Go ahead. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come out to you on the water." I'm taking some liberties here. "Bring it on, big boy. Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water. He got down out of the boat and he walked on the water and he came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink and cried out, "Lord, save me!" And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. And then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." So there's this story. They're out in the boat. Jesus has sent him away. Now he's just walking out to him. Jesus was the first surfer. Didn't even need a board. Just walking out on there, the wind and the waves, going out. They are freaked out, as they should be. I've never seen somebody walk on water. That'd throw my head for a little bit of a loop. That's defying the laws of physics. And they freak out. And he says, "Take courage." Not have courage or muster up some courage. Hey, take courage. Meaning, I'll give you courage. Take courage, fellas. It's me. And Peter says, "Hey, if it's you, Jesus, then tell me to come out on the water with you." "Okay. Come on. I'm God. I can change the molecular structure of the water under your feet too, just like it's under mine." And I don't think Peter just kind of cannonballed it out of there. Or, you know, I think maybe he crawled over the edge of the boat and he might put one foot down and, "Oh, fellas, it's working." And maybe got the other leg out and he's maybe still holding on a little bit. And then he starts to walk on the water towards Jesus. He says, "Come on, I'll do it as much as you want." He starts getting distracted. He starts to think, "Jesus, save me." He reaches down and grabs him, pulls him up. He says, "Oh," Jesus kind of saying, "Don't doubt. Oh, buddy, don't doubt." I bet you he's thrilled that Peter got out of the boat. 11 other guys going, "Oh my goodness, Peter's walking on the water too." And they never got out of the boat. Peter decided to take a risk. Took Jesus up on a dare. "Yeah, come on out. Don't doubt me. I am who I say I am. I'll do what I say I can do. I'm Jesus." And when he got back in the boat, the wind dies down and they worship him. And some of you, I dare you right now, today, to get out of your comfort zone. You've been living a real comfortable Christian life. You've been living real comfortably as a navigator on your campus. Maybe you live in a house full of Christians or an apartment full of Christians. I dare some of you to get out of your comfort zone. For some of you, that might be a dare to move back into the dorms, move into a freshman dorm as a senior. Watch what God might do. Some of you are juniors. I dare you, three or four of you go together, join a fraternity next year and see what happens. Then your senior year as a pledge. Ask Jesus to move in that fraternity or that sorority. Some of you may need to give up your summer at Eagle Lake or in STP or with IMG. Some of you may need to consider EdgeCore as a real deal and really get out of your comfort zone. You've got this career track plan and you need to put it on hold. And I dare you to get out of your comfort zone. Jesus is faithful 100% of the time. Come on. Yeah, I'll take care of it. I'm God. That's what I do. It's my job. I dare you to get out of your comfort zone. And that's some of you in here. And I dare you to do it. But I think I'm going to talk to most people in the room when we look at this next person in the Scriptures. Let's look at Mark 10, 17 through 22. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I kept since I was a boy." And Jesus looked at him and loved him. And Jesus looked at him and loved him. And Jesus looked at him and loved him. "And one thing you lack," he said. "Go, sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." And at this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. I think a lot of people in here can relate with this guy. This guy, my Bible has these little bold things. They kind of let me cheat. They tell me what the next paragraph's about. And this is called the rich young ruler. And so think about that. His name's not Bob in the Scriptures. It's the rich young ruler. So he's rich. He's got wealth. He's young. And he's a ruler. So maybe it's a political power. Maybe it's a business type thing. But he's a ruler of some sort. He's got everything going for him. He comes, he recognizes Jesus for who he is and says, good teacher, what do I got to do to inherit eternal life? What do I got to do? And Jesus says, well, you know, do the good stuff. For us, it'd be, you know, do Bible studies and do whatever you want to do. Oh, I've done all these. And Jesus says, he looks at him and he loved him. You got to let that word stay in there because otherwise this is a hard thing. He looks at him and he loves him and he says, you know what? There is one thing that you lack. And if I put it, if you'll give me a little bit of liberty to put it in our language today, I need you to sell out to me. You got to sell out. Everything you've got, you got to just sell out and come, and then come follow me. Sell out to me. Don't hold anything back. Nothing back. And come follow me. Some of you tonight, or this morning, excuse me, need, and I dare you to, sell out to Jesus. Some of you are sitting there going, I just don't know. And that's okay. That's a big decision. It's a huge decision. But some of you, I dare you this morning to sell out to Jesus. Resolve it in your brain that He is who He is, that He is who He says He is, that He's the Lord God Almighty. And sometimes we just need to sell out to who He is. It's what He wants all of us. Jesus says, man, you've been doing a lot of good things. I see that you're doing a lot of good things, but there's one thing that you lack. And I can just see Him just smiling at this guy and maybe grabbing him by his collar and just saying, oh, I need you to sell out. And then come follow me. You have treasure in heaven you wouldn't even believe. And we don't know what this guy does. We know he gets sad and he walks away. I like to think that he goes back and he goes, it is worth it. And he sells out and he's got treasure in heaven. We're going to meet that dude in heaven and be like, dude, you really did rack up. You got a lot of treasure. Maybe so. I don't know. We don't know how it ends. We don't know how it ends. And I don't know how it ends in your story. But I dare you to sell out to Jesus if that's you today. You know, Peter and John, they start to catch on with what Jesus is doing. They start to catch on to His power. In Luke 9, listen to this. This is just a little blip. We're just here for a second. As the time approached for Him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem and He sent messengers on ahead of Him and He went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for Him. But the people there did not welcome Him because He was heading for Jerusalem. When the disciples James and John saw this, now listen, they just told Jesus, they just dissed them, right? They said, when the disciples saw James and John saw this, they asked, Lord, you want us to call down fire from heaven and destroy them? And Jesus turned and rebuked them. And they went on to another village. Now think about this one for a second. If you read through the scriptures, this one stopped me dead in my tracks last year about this time. And listen to what's happening. They're saying, no, Jesus, you're going to Jerusalem. We don't want you to stay in our place then. And the disciples get kind of hot. What are you going to tell my Lord? He can't stay here. Lord, you want us to call down fire on them? Burn them up? But listen, He doesn't say, Lord, will you call down fire on them? Lord, should we ask God in all of His power to call down fire on them? He said, they started to recognize, Jesus, we're your disciples. And you've told us, you said we do even greater things than you. We'll do the things you've been doing. You want us to call it down? We believe that you have the power just to do it if we'd ask for it. And they're starting to catch on that God's big and they can ask for big things and they can trust Him for huge things. And Jesus rebukes them. He's like, no, fellas, we're not going to burn up the whole village. Come on, think through this one. But I bet you He turns around and He might be thinking, they're catching on. They're starting to get it. They're starting to get my authority, my power, and my Father's authority and my Father's power. And when they start asking things for my kingdom's work or on my behalf, they can do it because I'll do it through them. And I think He walks away, maybe smiling, maybe not letting them see Him smile because He just had to rebuke them and be like, no, fellas, we're not going to turn Him up all crispy, all right? And He walks away. They started to catch on. Some of you, this weekend, you've been challenged, and I would dare you to start believing in God for huge things, things that are outside your own abilities, things that are outside your own possibilities. I dare you to take a step closer to God and trust Him for some huge, impossible things that only He can do, that if it happens, you have to step back with your friends and go, isn't He awesome? He's the one who did it. It's wild. It's so cool. And I didn't do that. But I just asked Him for it, and He started doing all this stuff. I dare you. Take the Lord up on His promises. Ask Him for God-sized prayers. I dare you to move a step closer to Him like that. You know, there's one more story I like to look at. Peter, this is probably probably the single biggest verse that I learned out of last year, this little section. And it's another picture of Peter. Peter's in a boat again. I mean, he's a fisherman. Jesus has been crucified. And the fellas, there's about seven of them. I think the Bible tells us there's at least seven of the disciples in this boat, and they're going out fishing again. So Jesus has been crucified. They're kind of bummed out. And Jesus, this is talking about Jesus comes up to him and says, afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the son of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, hey, we'll go with you. So they went out and got in the boat. But that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. And he called out to them, friends, haven't you got any fish? No, they answered. He said, hey, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. And when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciples whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord! And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it's the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he'd taken it off, and he jumped into the water. And the other disciples followed him into the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not too far from shore, about 100 yards. I love this picture. I couldn't get enough of this. I just kept reading it. That looks weird. Peter in the boat with all these guys. All these guys are out fishing. They don't really recognize that it's Jesus. And Jesus says, hey guys, there's some fish on the right side. I put them there. I'm God. So they let down the net. They started bringing it up, and John goes, hey, that's Jesus. And Peter says, Jesus? Oh my God, that's Jesus. I got to go. And so he wraps his clothes around him. He just bails off headlong. Fully clothed. Says they're about 100 yards from shore. Let me give you a little bit of illustration of how silly this might look. It's one of my friends. His name's Forrest. Picture, this is Peter. I don't know if we'll go with that with Jesus or not. It looks a little silly, doesn't it? Yeah, we'll go with that's not Jesus right now.
What's up, Peter?
What are you doing here?
Good stuff, good stuff. But look at, think of how silly that would be. And that's how it happened. Peter decides, it's Jesus. And you know what? All his friends were in the boat. The guys he hung out with Jesus with were in the boat. And they're going, Peter, what are you doing? He's like, I gotta go! And he just blops off. And he's going, he's swimming, fully clothed. Maybe he can't swim good like Gump. And he's just going. And the rest of the guys, they're out in the boat. You know, he recognized that it was his Lord. And it was only 100 yards from shore, but he couldn't wait anymore. He had to go. He had to go right then towards his Lord. And it looked weird. He jumped off fully clothed. You don't go in the pool a whole lot with all your clothes on. And Peter said, I got to go right now. So he puts his clothes on, he takes off towards the water, hops out of the boat, and doesn't care about what any of his friends are doing. And he's just going hard after Jesus. Think about this, though. He was the first one to get a hug. He was the first one to go, Jesus, you're back from the dead. Oh my goodness. And Jesus just hugged him and said, oh, it's so good to see you. And the disciples, they came in. They came in the boat, and probably other people started coming around, and they're probably looking there like, Peter, man, why are you all wet? Why are you soaking to the bone, man? Well, I was actually on the boat about 100 yards offshore. I saw Jesus, and I just couldn't wait. I had to go right then. And I'm sorry, guys. I knew you were coming, but I couldn't wait on you. And I couldn't wait for your timing. And I know you wanted to bring the fish in, but I didn't care about the fish. All I cared about was Jesus. And I had to get near him as fast as I could. And a lot of you are honestly moving at the pace that your friends are. And right now, I dare you to get out of that boat if they're slowing you down and go hard after Jesus. Maybe the people that you're in your circle of friends are just holding you back just a little bit. And you know what? If you step out and you start running hard, you're going to look weird. What do you mean you're getting up early to pray? What do you mean you're going to go share your faith every day? Are you crazy? Like, we're moving along in our study. Man, I dare some of you to get out of the boat that you're in that's moving at this pace and start booking it towards Jesus. Some of you need to do that tonight or today. Excuse me, it's all dark in here. I'm getting freaked out. Some of you need to move towards Jesus, and I dare you to not wait on your friends to get there. And I dare you, if you say, I'm going, but I'm going. Put your robe on if you're going, but I'm getting in the water. And you might splash in first, and a couple might hop in after you, but don't wait on them. Man, if the Lord's calling you to Himself, and you have a desire to push hard after Him, don't you dare wait on your friends. I dare you, I dare you to get out of that boat. I dare you to get out of that boat of mediocrity and just moving along and going through the motions and go hard after Jesus, even if it looks really weird on the outside. Because you will be rewarded by getting there. You'll experience Jesus more. He had more time with him than any other guys, as far as we know. I can't help but think, Jesus seeing like Gump plop out of the water, he's going, "Crazy Peter, here he comes. Jesus! Jesus swimming! Jesus, I'm coming!" And man, I just can't help but think, wouldn't that bless Jesus' heart? Wouldn't that just go, "Oh man, Peter, here he comes. I love Peter. Peter, so good to see you." And with each of you, he's saying, "Oh, come on, come on. I want to give you all of me. Come on, big fella, my son, come on. My precious daughter, come on. Don't wait on your friends. They'll get here eventually. You come. You come now. I dare you. Get out of that boat and move towards them." I'd like to close our weekend with some philosophy from one of the great philosophers of our age, John Foreman, lead singer of Switchfoot. They've got a song out that I love. I was listening to the song over and 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 over again this summer. And the song is "I Dare You to Move." How many of you pegged that one? We played it like 100 times before you walked in. Maybe you picked up on it. Let me read you these words if I can. And just let this soak into you. Let this be a challenge to you. I pray that as this weekend wraps up, that you would be challenged to move closer to Him, to follow Him. Welcome to the planet. Welcome to existence. Everyone's here. Everyone's here. Everybody's watching you now. Everyone waits for you now. What happens next? What happens next? I dare you to move. I dare you to move. I dare you to lift yourself up off the floor. I dare you to move. I dare you to move like today never even happened before. Welcome to the fallout. Welcome to resistance. The tension is here. The tension, it is here. Between who you are and who you could be. Between how it is and how it should be. I dare you to move. I dare you to move. I dare you to lift yourself up off the floor. I dare you to move like today never happened before. Listen to this. I don't know if we have a slide for it. It's okay. Maybe redemption has stories to tell. Maybe forgiveness is right where you fell. Where can you run to escape from yourself? Where are you going to go? Where are you going to go? Salvation is here. Salvation is here. And I dare you to move. I dare you to pick yourself up off the floor. I dare you to move like today never happened before. This week we looked at Jesus and He said, "Hey, come follow me. Follow me. I've given you every resource you will ever need to follow me. I'll give you life that you couldn't even imagine. You'll have treasure in heaven. You won't even... You talk about building up a portfolio, you can't even imagine it. I'm huge, I'm God, I can do whatever I want. Whatever I want." And this morning, as we leave here, as we leave this place, I dare you to move. One step, I don't care where you're at. I don't know where you're at. But if you take one step today, and you'll go, "Ooh, that was cool." And tomorrow go, "Ooh, I'm taking another step." And then the next step, and then the next step, and then you're running, and then you can just chase hard after your Maker. But I dare you to move. Jesus says, "Follow me." I dare you to take one step closer, get dangerously close to the one true God of the Bible. Let me pray for us. Jesus, I love your word. Thank you for giving it to us. Thank you for your example in your scriptures, Jesus. And Jesus, you've promised us so many amazing promises, but Lord, you just call us to be obedient and to sell out to you, to get out of our comfort zones, Lord, to come hard after you. And Lord, you welcome it. You welcome it. And I know it puts a smile on your face. And Jesus, I pray this morning that we would just heed this challenge, that myself, I'd be preaching this to myself, Lord, that I would dare myself to move a step closer to you. And when I get there, I'd move another step. And when I get there, I'd move another step. And when I get there, I get so excited, I take 3 steps. And I just have to come after you as hard as I can, Jesus. And I pray that for each of these students, wherever they're at, Lord, I dare them to move closer to you, Lord. I pray that you would welcome them into your arms. Lord, that they might come hard after you, that they would have full life in you, not only in the age to come, but right now. Jesus, work in our campuses, work in our lives, work through our lives, Lord. Lord, be glorified in all that we do. Would you be glorified and lifted up, Lord, as to your glory. It's not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory because of your love and your faithfulness. We praise you, Lord. We thank you for today. It's in your name we ask things. Amen.